Bonjour, bienvenue, et je vous remercie d'être parmi nous ce matin. I want to thank in particular those of you who are earlier risers and came here to be with us this Friday morning. I already have something to ask of you. I know that you all plugged in, you all Twitters and Facebooks and so on. So you're going to hear something very interesting this morning from our minister. And so I hope that you'll get ready. You're already on your Twitters and so on to spread the news, because this is really something that is fantastic. We are privileged to have with us this morning the Honorable Tony Clement, who is the President of the Treasury Board. And he's visiting us on our campus this morning. I have to tell you, it's a very special privilege for me because, as you know, I worked in Ottawa for 7 years. Minister Clement was my boss for many of those years, and he was a fantastic person to work with. Fantastic because he really had a vision for where we need to go in terms of R&D in this country, and also put in place very concrete actions to make us get there, in particular to make our country a real magnet for talent and for talent all over the world. It was under his leadership that the Canada Excellence Research Chair Program was started. I believe also the Vanier Scholarships, the Banting Scholarships. So if any of you are awardees of these fantastic programs, now you can see who you should say thank you to, because it really was a very visionary visionary actions, and I have to tell you, they were envied by all countries in the world. J'aimerais aussi souhaiter la bienvenue à M. Ray Sharma, qui est le fondateur en chef de la direction de XMG Studio. Il est ici avec nous. Et dans quelques minutes, le ministre Clément et M. Sharma vont vous adresser la parole. As you know, they'll let you know how you can take part in the Government of Canada upcoming national open data 48 hours appeton. Is that the way we pronounce it? Appeton. It's a new word in my vocabulary, and this is the Canadian Open Data Experience, and its acronym, of course, spells CODE. Comme vous savez tous, je crois, le Canada a besoin de travailleurs brillants et hautement qualifiés, et aussi des gens qui ont une perspective multidisciplinaire dans le domaine des technologies de l'information. Et d'ailleurs, le Conseil canadien des technologies de l'information et des communications a déjà sonné l'alarme au sujet de la pénurie des employés spécialisés dans ce domaine. On prévoit déjà qu'on va devoir embaucher 17 000 nouveaux employés chaque année dans le futur. Alors, c'est très important que nos universités canadiennes et nos collèges canadiens aussi forment des gens dans ces domaines. So I have to tell you, Minister, here at McGill, we're ready to respond, and we're ready to respond because, in fact, educating people in these disciplines of the information and communication technology is one of the great area of expertise of this university. Very, very good programs, very good schools, and in fact, you will hear in a minute from my colleagues from our School of Computer Science and our Faculty of Engineering's Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. So you can count on us. We're, as they say, we're on it, and we will deliver. Of course, it's always exciting to know that you have young people involved in studies, very actively in their studies, in areas where there's high demand, but also such exciting discoveries to be made and step forward to be made. I think people in the information communication technology know that, because every year they bring to our vocabulary new words that did not exist before, like app, and, you know, I think of tablet. Of course it existed, but some people thought of Moses, which is not what we think about. The clouds, again, you know, it's an old word, but when people talk about the cloud nowadays, they think of something else. So these people are bringing new images, new words to our vocabulary, and I think it speaks the breakthrough they're making in these disciplines and the advances they're making. So I will now leave the podium to my colleagues, Professor Gregory Dudek, Director of the School of Computer Science, and Professor James Clark, who's the Director of the McGill Center for Intelligent Machines, and they'll say a few words about their faculties. Alors, Monsieur Dudek, s'il vous plaît.
So it's great to have a chance to speak here for just a moment. I think all these new words and all these new technologies that change our lives are what leads this to be known in many ways as the information era. Really, the world is changing very rapidly, and I think all the other sciences today, the richest people, the most prosperous companies, the greatest efficiency improvements, and the huge social impacts depend to a large measure on computer science, software engineering, computer engineering. So it's great to be in a field where these things are so pivotal. In fact, a third of Canadian R&D spending today is going into computer science, software engineering, computer engineering. And yet it all depends critically on finding students and people to do this work and to be engaged by it, and it all depends critically on the support and the engagement of the federal government, which has been a continual supporter here of McGill of what we're doing, and I think what the entire industry is doing across Canada. And so it's great to have the federal government here again speaking about another initiative that I think is going to not only engage students emotionally in something exciting, but also provide resources that are going to let them move forward. And so we'll hear about it in a moment. But it's tremendously exciting, and I think tremendously important to have them here, both not only providing that support, but also talking to us directly about what it's going to be.
There's something about in the Faculty of Engineering, we have a relatively new program in software engineering. The first graduates were in 2006. This is experiencing a lot of growth because of the demand in industry. In the last 4 years, the enrollment has increased about 70%. And we're trying to give activities for these students within their programs. For example, we have courses in a new early design course called Engineering Design Principles and Methods. Students also can get activities through internships. Upwards of 50% of our students now take an internship of either 4 months to up to 16 months, and a lot of them are involved with doing software coding for various companies in Montreal, around the world, actually. And there's other activities that students can do outside of their programs. Okay, there's many clubs, for example, the Solar Car Team, the former SAE, the Robot Team, where students get together in teams and they work on these projects. They get their own funding, and they get some funding from the faculties. But also, increasingly, students are involved with other extracurricular activities such as, you know, Hack McGill and various hackathons, and now appathons. And I think it's really great that Mr. Clement is coming to talk about government support of these activities. I think it's very important for our students to reach beyond just what they learn in their classes, to actually have activities where they can make use of what they learned and actually get some industrial experience before they go out into the world and, as Greg said, become, you know, the wealthiest people in Canada. So it's my honor and privilege to introduce the Honorable Tony Clement to talk about this.
Thank you, Professor, and merci pour votre introduction chaleureuse. It's just great to be back at McGill. I was saying to Madame le Président, ici, que la dernière fois que j'étais ici avec vous, c'est pour une discours pour le département de sciences politiques. Maintenant, c'est pour les ordinateurs et pour les ingénieurs et les choses comme ça. So it's great to be back here and to be part of really a countrywide tour that I've been doing on Canadian Open Data Experience. Last week I was at Simon Fraser University and the University of British Columbia. I've been in Winnipeg. I've been in Waterloo, University of Waterloo, and Wilfrid Laurier University, University of Toronto. But I couldn't not do a tour without coming to McGill. So it's great to be here and to talk a little bit to you and beyond you to, I know the online streaming that's going on about how each of you, any of you, can participate in our government's, or the government of Canada's, really, first ever National Appathon, the Canadian Open Data Experience, or CODE for short. So what is CODE? CODE is a 48-hour appathon that will be taking place during the weekend of February 28th to March 2nd. It had to be situated somewhere, so désolé, it's situated in Toronto. But, of course, you can participate anywhere in the country via online, so really it's truly national. I wanted to come to McGill to talk about CODE, not only because of some of the great measures that the department is doing here that have already been mentioned, but of course, as Suzanne knows, your worldwide reputation for research, for innovation, for entrepreneurship, it really goes back many, many decades. Wilder Penfield, with his pioneering brain surgery for the treatment of epilepsy back in the 30s, the invention of artificial blood cells, plexiglass, the geographic information system, and something called Archie, which was the first internet search engine. These are all McGill ideas, and really McGill has helped reinvent how the world works. Aujourd'hui, cette université continue d'être une chef de file inspirant en matière d'innovation. Votre programme Quartier de l'innovation donne aux étudiants, aux diplômés, aux enseignants et au personnel universitaire accès à tout ce dont ils ont besoin pour lancer de nouvelles entreprises. Et le concours de démarrage d'entreprise Coupe Dobson de McGill, organisé par la faculté de gestion, permet de motiver des étudiants entrepreneurs. Il a attiré plus de 450 innovateurs et a facilité le démarrage de 28 entreprises depuis 2011. So what I hope is that CODE can tap into some of that McGill magic and inspire an entire generation of developers and designers of data apps that will change the world yet again. Actually, CODE builds on the foundation of something called the Great Canadian Appathon. Maybe some of you have heard of that as well. That was created by XMG Studios, my collaborator Ray Sharma, who actually, Suzanne, cannot be here today. Something came up, but he has been a real leader in our country as an entrepreneur of mobile game apps, but also he has put back into our community through the Great Canadian Appathon, which is a successful Toronto-based mobile game developing activity. It really is interesting because for us to tap into XMG Studios as well. So they're partnering with us to help us inspire the next gen of developers and designers to develop apps based on open data, and that's what CODE is all about. L'expérience des données ouvertes canadiennes permettra au gouvernement de s'engager à accroître davantage la transparence au moyen du gouvernement ouvert. Le gouvernement ouvert comprend trois volets d'activité, l'information ouverte, le dialogue ouvert, et les données ouvertes. And that's what I want to really concentrate on right now. It's open data. Obviously, open data really connects into what we're trying to do with CODE. Comme vous le savez, les gouvernements produisent de grandes quantités d'informations. I put it this way. Since the beginning of recorded history, when human beings started to organize themselves, there started to develop government. And as soon as there was government, there were people in government collecting information. That's been since the dawn of time. But the way it has always worked in the past is government collects the information and they keep the information because information has always been power. That's been the historical record. Well, what's happening today for the first time in history is that is being turned on its head. And for the first time, there's a growing movement, a worldwide movement, to unlock the door, to open the vault of government information and to placing it all out there for access to the people, to researchers, to NGOs, to developers, and to citizens more generally. ces données appuient les prestations de services dans les domaines comme la santé, l'environnement, l'agriculture et les ressources naturelles, pour ne citer que celles-ci. Nous avons des ensembles de données sur divers sujets allant de la démographie canadienne à la couverture nationale du service à large band. Avec l'essor de la technologie numérique, on est de plus en plus conscient que ces données enfermées dans le coffre-fort du gouvernement. As I said, it's been locked up in this government vault, and now we understand, we all understand, the value and the tremendous potential of open data and how it can provide that to Canadians. I've been going around the country saying that open data is Canada's 21st century natural resource, and I really do believe that because it'll allow developers, designers, coders to manipulate, in the positive sense of that word, manipulate that raw data into useful apps that allow Canadians, quite frankly, to save time or save energy or save money in their day-to-day schedules. And I want to give you a couple of examples just to spur the brain activity that is essential for this to be a success. During my first transatlantic Google Hangout in October, I was joined by the co-founder and developer of Transit App, Sam Vermette. Now, he's a native of Montreal, and he's developed an app that offers real-time transit directions and real-time notification and route planning for over 43,000 cities across North America. Since its launch just last May, it has been downloaded over 150,000 times. Knowing when your bus is coming or how long you'll be waiting in line at airport security, all of these things can help you manage your time more effectively. Et notre économie bénéficie largement des données ouvertes. On estime que les applications de cartographie comme Transit App, par exemple, ont rapporté 90 milliards de dollars rien qu'aux États-Unis. For a Canadian perspective, I'll give you another example. Natural Resources Canada has commissioned a study on the economic value of open geospatial information within the Canadian economy, and we're waiting for those results. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the results will be astounding to people, how much economic activity and how much time saving, all of those things can be done just using geospatial data. Aujourd'hui, des milliers d'ensembles de données sont affichés sur notre portail de données ouvertes, données.gc.ca, data.gc.ca. That's where our data sets are located. And we have already posted over 200,000 data sets. So this is a huge treasure trove. Think of Statistics Canada, Health Canada information, Immigration Canada information, as I said, Natural Resources Canada, Geospatial information, Environment Canada, all of that is located at data.gc.ca. And, of course, I will tell you that we continue to replenish the data sets. There's another big chunk of data that will be out before the end of February, and that all will be available. That's your, that's where you mine for the code experience, so we're looking forward to that. Just recently, just in the last weeks, we've released data sets on fuel consumption, aquatic invasive species, and the chronic disease surveillance system. Les utilisateurs de données ouvertes intéressés par les données de Statistique Canada, par exemple, ont établi que le système de classification des industries de l'Amérique du Nord et la classification nationale des professions représentaient leur priorité absolue et qu'ils devaient figurer sur données.gc.ca. Ils en ont été publiés sur le portail en décembre dernier. So just a little bit more about code. Obviously, the intention is to challenge the participants to create the next popular app using the data sets found at data.gc.ca. The teams that submit the top 15 apps will be invited to the code grand finale on March 28th, where they will pitch their apps to a panel of industry experts, celebrities. We've got celebrities. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about real celebrities. And, most importantly, potential investors during a live judging event. So clearly the goal is to connect our young entrepreneurs directly to investment firms and venture capitalists to ensure their apps or ideas are brought to market. And I should mention that this is being sponsored not only by XMG Studios, but other companies, IBM, Google Canada, OpenText, the biggest Canadian software company. So there will be, and I know this is important for students, cash and prizes associated with the top winners. So please do visit data.gc.ca for that kind of information. Obviously, the top three apps will be in line for the cash and prizes, and the winning apps may go on to be released commercially, either independently by the participants or in cooperation with a third party. So I don't have to tell this group, but certainly appathons or hackathons, whatever you want to call it, like Code, are an increasingly popular way of bringing together the data enthusiasts, the coders, the developers, and the designers to find new ways to tap that market. And I really want to stress how this market, this open data market, we're really at the beginning edge of this. This is going to be huge, I really do believe, over the next few years. So you really are on the ground floor. Like, if you're worried that someone is ahead of you, or how can I compete when other people have got an advantage, nobody has an advantage. The big guys don't have an advantage. There's no people coming before you who have been coding for years on open data. This is ground zero. This is where things are going to start happening. And so I really do encourage you to be part of this revolution in data that is happening all around the world. We all have heard about big data. Well, all open data is big data that has hitherto been owned by governments. So it's a great tool for entrepreneurship. It's a great tool for education. And this is why I'm so proud to be part of a government that is taking this seriously and wants to lead the way. Let me just say just a couple of other words about where we are. Obviously, we have already seen some apps that have already been developed. There's an app, for instance, for natural health products that has been issued a product license by Health Canada. There's a real-time app in terms of border wait times that has been done by Public Safety Canada. But I happen to believe that some of the best apps are yet to come. So do visit data.gc.ca, because there is an information site on what apps have been developed and certainly what we're looking for. So these things are really, as I say, just starting out. And, of course, they help our productivity. I'm a big believer that if Canada is going to be productive and competitive in the new age, this new information age, it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger all the time, we really do have to have open data as part of it, and that is going to drive technological innovation and entrepreneurship. And so that's why we're supporting Code. Cette activité nationale inédite vous donne l'occasion de prouver votre talent en vous mesurant aux meilleurs étudiants, entrepreneurs et innovateurs du Canada, et, comme j'ai déjà dit, de gagner des prix. So I encourage you all, within the sound of my voice, to continue exploring the endless possibilities that open up with when technology is combined with computer science and graphic design, the social sciences, or government studies. That's really, everybody can have a say and can have a part in this. And I cannot wait to see what the bright minds at McGill will create. Thank you very much. Merci à tous.
Well, thank you very much for that very exciting announcement. I think it's going to have a big impact, not only on our student body, and we know we have it's no secret that we have the best students in Canada here, the best student body, so I'm sure they'll be doing a lot of exciting things with this data. But I think this kind of open data and the huge amount of data is going to have an impact that goes way beyond the confines of this next appathon, which is important, but just the beginning of a big, I think, tidal wave of neat things that we can do. So thank you very much for coming and telling us about it. It's really exciting.
Thank you. Do you have time for a few questions?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So maybe we can see if there are a few questions before you have to be on your way. I'm going to turn here. Yes, please.
What's the hashtag?
We have a Twitter handle at @code_hackathon. And we've been using the hashtag code and the hashtag open data, données ouvertes. Those are ones that we use habitually, or at least I use anyway. I'm sure others do too.
Yeah.
And the open data, if you use the hashtag open data, that unlocks a huge dialogue going on worldwide. When we signed on, Canada was one of the first signatories to something called the Open Government Partnership, which was an international manifestation of this movement, this worldwide movement to open data and open government. And we were six countries signed on when we signed on, Brazil, UK, USA, Canada, a couple of other countries. Now there are over 60 countries. So this is really a worldwide trend and movement, and we're so glad to be on the ground floor of it. That's a good question, and if Ray were here, he'd be able to answer that. But we will have an answer to that question. Just keep visiting data.gc.ca. Brian, do we have an answer to that?
Yeah, it's going to be
Brian's my policy advisor, in case anybody's wondering why I went to the guy in the back of the room. Thanks. Yep.
So I'm guessing the students, or the people who win in the Hackathon, or get prizes, will get huge amounts of publicity.
Yeah.
Do you know if for the other apps there'll be some mechanism by which they're all going to be visible?
Absolutely. I think we'll definitely be promoting these through data.gc.ca, and certainly for the finalists, they're going to be in front of a very important audience. And what we're going to try to do is continue the dialogue even after the Appathon, so that this can continue to be a way by which we connect people to the right people. I was at a round table just last week in Vancouver with venture capitalists, and they're very interested in showing up. Just because this could be the next big thing that they can invest in. So we're trying to create a community that will be ongoing, which I find very exciting. And certainly this is the start of this dialogue, and it should continue for sure. Yeah.
Yes?
So you may know that women are underrepresented in computer sciences and IT.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're doing specifically to try and encourage women to participate?
I think we've been, what I've noticed in terms of the turnout for these kinds of events is I'm very pleasantly surprised. There's been a lot of women who have turned out here. I was in UBC last week, same thing. At University of Waterloo, I did my announcement there at a residence, a mathematics.
Yeah.
They have a residence for maths majors. It was pretty incredible. A lot of women there. So it seems to be attracting both genders, which is great, and certainly we do encourage that. So the other thing I should mention is this thing, is very popular already. My initial goal was to get 100 registrants. We passed that like last month, and we're at 300 registrants already. So this is very, very popular. It's across the country, across genders, across nationalities. It's really interesting to see how this is being embraced by the coding community. So we can always assess the success as we go, but for a first effort ever, I think we're on the right track. Yeah.
What are you capping the registrants at?
Well, there's a techie guy who knows the answer to that, but what I'm trying to push for is as many as possible. Like, let's just because it's been subscribed to such an extent that we did not expect is no means to close off. So we're going to try to close off as late as possible. My attitude is the more the merrier, and there may be some technical limitations, but so far it's still open.
Mais encore une fois, oui. Merci, Monsieur le Ministre, d'être venu nous voir. I have to say, for those of you who know about government and know of the role of the President of the Treasury Board, you will have to be the most innovative, forward-looking President of the Treasury Board we've ever had in our country, and we're very, very grateful for that. This is a fantastic initiative. As you know, I like competition. And I always say, may the best win, but I can't help but hope that the best may be right here at McGill. So spread the words to all of your friends and colleagues so that they participate, and we have a good show from McGill in this fantastic initiative. Merci beaucoup.
C'est mon plaisir.
Oui.
Bonne chance.
Self-photo just of the speakers from today. That's all right.